Welcome back again to the Empower with Emma podcast with me, Emma Keogh. I am so excited about this guest that I have on. I have wanted to get her on for so long, and not only is she a friend of mine now, she is such an amazing, inspirational woman who touches so many hearts. She is a wellness speaker, a health coach, and an author of a best-selling book called Glow. She's been such an inspiration to so many women out there who are recovering from breast cancer. She's a new mom and just touches the hearts, not only of myself, but like I said, she is just beautiful. It is the one and only Georgie Crawford. Well, welcome to the pod, Georgie Crawford.
I thought you'd never ask.
Well, this is like it's such a 360 moment. So like everybody, like I'm obsessed anyways with Georgie Crawford. So for all those years. And then when we met and then I went on to Georgie's podcast, it was only in August last year. So it's only a few months. I feel like obviously we connect so well, but then like so much has happened not only in my life, but in your life.
Yeah.
Like from even we were chatting, you were like, oh my God, I have a new baby on the way. Like what, how am I going to do this? And like, so in those few months, and then even I saw you in the Good Glow show, which was just magical. Like I got a mention. I was like, I have made it. Like, tell me what a whirlwind it's been for you over the last few months and just being yourself.
Yeah. And I do think we have this soul connection where we just pick up where we left off every single time. That night that I met you in real life for the first time and we just stood in the corner chatting, that was like my last night out, let's say, before I went off to Georgia and had Tally. But it's been a whirlwind. I'm experiencing motherhood from a completely different perspective. And it's wonderful. I'm having the best time. And 2023 was a great year for me. So it was tough to say goodbye. Now, we all have good years. We have bad years. So I'm trying to remind myself that I don't have to say goodbye to a good year. I can choose every day to get up and continue the feelings that I had within last year into 2024. So time doesn't really matter. One of the biggest things I learned last year was to be here now. So I'm practicing that as much as I can.
Yeah, and that's such an important thing, even for me, like practicing mindfulness. I was so focused on worrying about the future. Worrying about the past and stressing about the future. But it's just about being present right here. And especially for you, like, how do you stay present? Especially, you know, you're a wellness coach, you're a health coach, you give so much advice, you have the pod, you're a new mom. Like, how do you stay present and grounded with everything what's going on in your life?
Do you know what? I think that's one of my biggest accomplishments over the last 5 years is how I have, doing the work has helped me, becoming curious about the world has helped me realize that I am actually only harming myself by worrying, having these catastrophic thoughts about the future, things that haven't happened yet. It used to be one of my favorite pastimes to, you know, dip into worry and doom. So I got a hold of it really. 1 year I had a really bad panic attack. I think it was October 21. And I just said, no more. I'm not doing this. And the only way I'm going to get myself out of this is by getting therapy, by actually doing the work every single day. So I chatted to Oprah's friend, Dr. Shefali, last year, and I asked her what her favorite mantra was. And she said, Georgie, it's simple. Be here now. So when you feel those thoughts coming in, put your hand on your heart, close your eyes, be here now. And when I say those words to myself, and often, you know, before we went off to Tbilisi and I was thinking about this other lady giving birth to my baby and what if this happens and what if that happens and what if I don't bond with my baby? In the middle of the night, I'd say to myself, Georgie, be here now. And when I thought about that and when I brought myself back to the present moment, I could see that everything was fine. everything was fine in that moment. I was safe. I was happy. Everything was okay. So I literally go moment to moment like that now, because if I get caught up in the story about my future, I will go into meltdown mode.
Yeah. And that's crazy because, like, obviously I'm exactly the same as well as, like, as you, where you constant, like, I have like a saying as well. And I always say is like, worrying is like a rocking chair. It's something to do, but it gets you nowhere.
You're so, like, can you bring out a little pocketbook of sayings that we can all carry around in
Everybody
our bags?
Everybody says please. That to me. They're like, Emma, your slogans and your sayings are God. But like it is though. So anytime I see myself, I'm like, oh my God, I'm just on that rocking chair. I'm actually going nowhere. And I remember my mom, she gave me advice. I think we said it before and she heard it on the radio. And it was like, give yourself a certain amount of time to worry each day. Go right, 10, 15 minutes, but then park it. But I do find, I think in this kind of current, you know, world we live in, it's just like, especially with COVID and everything else that was going on, it's like we're nearly conditioned and programmed to be like, oh no, you have to worry about this. And you know, there's a lot of current affairs going on at the moment which are absolutely terrible, but it's this constant worry that's being instilled into us. So how do you nearly block that out? Like, how do you look after your own energy, especially in the world you live in, you know, from trying to give that glow as well back to people, you know, trying to look after your own self?
I think my self-care changes from month to month, year to year, depending on what I have on. So I was really spoiled over the last couple of years because Pia was 4, 5, 6. She was kind of keeping herself busy around the house. She, you know, loves Lego and coloring. And I could really dip into a meditation or go out for a jog. Like the three of us had a life setup that really facilitated me doing a lot of work on myself. And I need that to stay well. So when I was having a second baby, I was like, oh God, what is this going to mean for my mental health?
Mm.
And obviously it's very triggering to have a baby because I got sick after I had Pia. So yeah. I was like, is it going to happen again? You know, and when I'm not looking after myself, I kind of worry about myself. So instead of letting the self-care just completely fall apart, now it's 10 minutes a day, if even. But I make sure I'm doing the things that I know I need to do to look after myself. So instead of a, you know, a 20-minute run down the road, I might sit with myself for 1 minute and just get my head together. Or I'm making sure that I'm eating really well. I'm making sure that I do what I can when I can. But, you know, I think it's all about self-awareness and asking yourself, 30-second check-in, what do I need today? Okay, I'm really dehydrated. I haven't drank water since last Wednesday. Okay, I'm on it today.
Mm.
And not to be too hard on yourself. And obviously, it's so important to check in with the outside world. And I think we're all feeling such a pit deep within of unease at the moment. So yeah, doing what you can on that front too.
Yeah, and that's such a big thing as well, isn't it? The small little things every day, where I think people would look at the likes of, say, me, you, you know, Jerry, everybody else, you know, who's on, like, here, and they're like, they have this 2-hour morning routine. And no, just it's carving out the small little moments. So like, even for you, like, what is that like non-negotiable that you have to do every day to be like, oh, I have to do that or else I am in bad form, even especially having, you know, your new baby as well. Like, what is the one non-negotiable that
for
you
me
have
it's
to do?
For me, it's water.
Okay.
And water just makes me feel well. And I think it was because I felt so dehydrated when I got sick.
Yeah.
When I had my first baby, I remember thinking to myself every single day, drink more water. And I didn't. And I said to my therapist, I was like, was that a form of self-harm? Like my inner thoughts were telling me to do something and I was completely ignoring it every single day. What was wrong with me? And you know, we went over it for a few days and we were thinking about it, and I think it was anxiety. It was like freeze mode. I couldn't do anything to help myself. Everything was just too big at that time. I was breastfeeding, I was trying to do it all. So now when I just need a minute, I go and I get myself a glass of water. And it probably sounds so ridiculous, But it is my way of giving back to myself every day. And yeah, like it's just so simple.
Yeah, and you can plug your new water bottle as well. So Georgie has a new water bottle out. So yeah, you can go buy that as well.
No, we brought out a water bottle that has a straw because I find it really annoying if you have to like tip your head back and lift up a big heavy bottle. So I was like, we need a straw. And then you just get through it so much quicker.
Yeah, well, that's good that resonates with you as well. Do you know that way? And a big thing which I absolutely love, which I want to talk about is, and I'm going to get to it now. Obviously, all your mantras, your story and all your little tips and tricks all into one was your book, the bestseller Glow. Okay, so I remember reading that and I was like, oh my God. So this was before we even met. And I was like, she is just my kind of gal. Like, this is just like me in a book. Like, oh my God. And I remember reading it and all the tips and all the tricks. And it's just so relatable and just getting into it as well. But the one thing I did love was, you know, it shows that, you know, we're not always this person. We have to recondition and rechange who we want to be. You know, you were the DJ, stressed out, sitting at the desk, not going to the bathroom, not eating, living on the edge. And I was like, I was that person when I worked in an office. And then obviously you got sick, but even the way you told your story, but like, how do you like, you know, how did you just put all that into one? Like, what drove you to put all that into one? And then keep forcing and like evolving as well.
I think once you start looking after yourself, I just completely abandoned myself for so many years.
Right.
And I suppose I was just always beating myself up. Oh God, you're not funny enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not this, you're not that. And I remember, actually, it was in this room where I'm standing right now, okay?
Oh, my God.
So I got diagnosed with cancer. We just moved into this house. I was in here about 6 weeks, I think. It's all a blur, but only a few weeks. And for the last 7 months since I had Pia, I remember looking at myself in the mirror with, like, disgust. Like, looking at myself and being like, oh, the state of you. Look at your, you know, flabby belly. Your boobs are like sagging. You're so ugly. And when I was told I had cancer, I came back to this room. This used to be my little dressing room. It's a tiny little room. I had a wardrobe in it. And it's Tally's room now. The sacrifices you make for your children, guys.
Yeah.
But I took off my clothes. I was obviously getting into the shower. And I looked at myself and I was like, I love you. I love my body. I want to live. I want to be here. And it was the first time that I recognized all of the great things my body had been doing for me. And I had spent so long hating on it. And here I was with cancer, 32. And thinking, if I survive, things are going to be different. I am going to love myself or find a way. And that was really a big turning point for me. It was the first time I really saw myself, I think.
Wow. I'm like, I nearly got teary eyed there. Like, because it's just mad when a woman has to stand in front of a mirror. I don't think like, I think so many people will relate to this because like, even for years I did that. I was like, I can't look at myself. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's like, it's a really, like, how would you describe it? Like,
it's like you look in the mirror and you see everything you're not instead of everything you are. There was, I don't know. It's like, it's an Irish thing. I look at, you know, girls from America and Australia and they seem to have so much confidence or so much self-assurance and we kind of beat ourselves up a bit. It was like, I think Oprah said it and, you know, when we say, oh, she's so full of herself.
Yeah.
And, you know, we should be.
Yeah.
Why do we beat ourselves up so much? Why do we not give ourselves what we know we need? And it takes a lot of support. It took Jamie to really listen to me and encourage me and get on board with me wanting to really take care of myself, because yeah. I had a baby and of course I was going to give all of my time and all of my energy to her. So this time around with Tali, it's so different. Like, I accept help. I don't feel guilty leaving her to run down the road. I don't care if the house is messy. I just do the things. You know, Brian Penny.
Yeah.
He talks about, he told this amazing story at a show I did, What Makes Your Boat Go Faster? Mm-hmm. And it was about this Olympic team and it's Team GB, and they had no chance of winning a gold medal. They were rowers. And 2 years before the Olympics, they said, okay, every decision that we make in the lead up to the Olympics, we're going to ask ourselves, will this make our boat go faster? So, off they went, and you know, if they were on a night out, they might go home because they know staying out wouldn't make their boat go faster, or maybe some nights it would if they had to switch off. And they went and they won gold at the Olympics. So yeah. Brian Penny told this story, what's going to make your boat go faster? So when I look at my family as a whole now, what's going to make our boat go faster? Like on Saturday, I have a new project, a new podcast with Jerry, and we were talking about retreating and how important it is in January to retreat and rest and be enough in rest. So this Saturday, we're having a little retreat day where I am not putting on a wash. I'm going out for a 10K run because I'm training for the New York Half Marathon. That's going to help my boat go faster. Pia has a new love of chicken korma curries. We're going to order an Indian, and she's going to, after the birthday party she's going to, she's going to get her little Indian takeaway. And what we're doing on Saturday as a family is we're going to help our boat go faster. So schedule in those days.
Yeah.
You know that you need to, for togetherness and love and connection, because we're so busy doing things all the time.
Yeah. And I think that is so valid what you said, because I do think in this world, not only of people who are in relationships, have families, you know, whatever it is, we just think it's always going to be there.
Yeah. Oh,
it's,
yeah.
Like, always going to be there, and we just crack on. But it's like, no, what have I got right now? And what do I want to cherish right now and appreciate right now?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's so true. We think it's always going to be there. Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, it is, because it's like, you know, like little things. I'm just saying, for instance, like my grandmother is like my best friend. I absolutely love her, and sometimes you just think like, oh, there's, you know, they're always gonna be there, I'll drop down for another day. But when I'm with her, I make sure like to sit with her with intention, you know, give my attention to her intention, me being there, having a cup of tea, not on my phone, just being there, because they're the moments. Then you go, you know, every moment becomes a memory.
There's another page of your book, Emma.
It does, though, and that's it. And I think it's so important. Like, so even you creating those memories with your family, you're very aware of that. Were you always that aware?
Absolutely not. I'd no self-awareness. And it's one of the most simple things that we can bring into our lives is self-awareness. I used to be the person in the office that was like, you know, going home with other people's car keys in my bag, like I was the like frantic, like mess of a person, always late, forget my glasses, forget my work card. I was that person in school who was like always tapping you on the shoulder looking for a pen because I couldn't find my pencil case. I just charged into everything without thinking. Now it's so simple. I stand on my doorstep with my hand on the handle of my door before I leave and go, do I have everything I need to help me flourish today, to help me be my best? No, yeah. I don't have my water bottle. Go back in. No, I forgot my glasses. So it's literally seconds that you can build into your day that is going to transform your life.
Yeah. And it's, I have another little aha here. So it's the purpose of pause. So it's like pausing in that moment, isn't it? So for me, I was the exact same as you, frantic, go, 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 just like have to do this, have to please everybody. I never paused. I actually never had, like, I never paused. And I think COVID made me pause to be like, okay. So like, when was that moment for you when you got breast cancer, your moment to pause where you were like, oh God, I have to pause now and just reassess everything in my life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it wasn't even a choice that it was forced upon me. Yeah. I remember just saying like, oh, I'll be back to work in a couple of weeks. And my doctor's like, no, a year.
Okay.
So I set an intention for myself when I went on holidays last year, because it's still a work in progress for me. So to be comfortable in the uncomfortableness of doing nothing and not feeling like, I remember I woke up at 9 o'clock last week and I went into the kitchen to Jamie and I was like, oh God, I'm still so tired because we're like night feeds and Tally's up late and doing all the newborn baby stuff. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, God, I feel like such a loser. And I was like, do you feel like a loser? And he's like, no, we need to sleep, Georgie. We need to rest.
Yeah.
And it's still a thing that I have to consciously try to be comfortable with, is resting and not doing. It's a work in progress. It's probably the biggest thing that I have to overcome every single day.
I'm the exact same. Exact same. Like, I'm, can I get up? I'm like, okay, right. So how much can I do in the day to like overachieve? And then can I get that done? And then if I don't do that and I'm sleeping in by 9, I'm like, what are you doing? You need to be up at 7:30, seizing the day. But I've actually learned to resist that uncomfortableness and be like, no, 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 no. Your body is telling you, what do you need? This is your mind trying to hijack your body. So your body's telling you, that's why you're sleeping in, because it needs it. How do you stay in check with that? Like, because I'm obsessed with like time. I don't know why I've always been obsessed with time. And it's something I'm trying to work on, like time for myself, giving back to myself. Like, it sounds like you're in that similar position as well. Like, how do you just nearly like, without Jamie, because I know Jamie's such a big support network. Like, how do you just go, oh, like, you know, just giving yourself a hug, being like, it's all right. It's okay.
I think I've learned to trust myself and trust my body. So I had a scare before Christmas with my health. And every morning when I woke up, my first thought, before I could remember that I was in the middle of a health scare and I had had a biopsy and I was waiting for the results. So every morning before that thought could kick in, or I remembered that that's what I was going through, my first thought was, I am well. I remember like sitting up every morning, I am well, I feel well. And I knew in my subconscious mind that I was well. I knew that I didn't have cancer. So it's like listening to yourself, trusting yourself. Now I know as well that in the middle of winter, I can't get up at 5 o'clock and do a morning ritual. I can't roll like that. And also that doesn't make me, it doesn't mean that I'm not practicing what I preach if I'm not up at 5 o'clock meditating with a stick of incense. I need to rest in the winter. I'm hibernating. And I'm getting ready for the summer. Yes, in the summer, when I look out my window and I see a bright sky or the sunrise, I'm going to run down to Killiney Beach and jump into the sea with my dog for a few minutes.
Yeah.
But it's actually grand if I don't do it in December. It's actually fine in January if I don't go for a run. Like, whatever works for you, I think is really important, because I think I was so afraid for those 32 years when I wasn't exactly the healthiest person. I was afraid to start because I thought, oh God, I won't do it properly, or I won't be able to stick to it. And that's not what it's about. It's not about perfection. It's about doing one small thing every day. And if that today is filling up a glass of water or making a homemade soup and sleeping in till 10 a.m., that's grand, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's so important for everyone listening out there, because like,
people don't have, like, it's not realistic to be having like all these like, you know, routines, like, you know, getting up, going to the gym, meditating, ice bath, like, no, just doing the little thing. And it's so important, because I'm actually only learning as well, especially from winter time, that my body actually needs more rest. And I'm just doing, I've changed my routine now. So I've used to get up, go to the gym, blah, 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 where now I'm just sitting here with a cup of cacao doing breath work for 10 minutes.
Ooh,
just a little reset. And I'm like, I actually have another saying. You're going to be mad for this. I'm easing into the day instead of seizing the day.
Fab. That's a good one for winter, isn't it?
It's a good one, isn't it? So I was like, okay, we need to ease in. Because even I had a class during the week. I'm like, everyone thinks with the new year, it's like, okay, new year, we're going to seize it. No. We're easing in. January is ease. February, it's like feeling yourself, you know, that way, like the hibernation as well. We are all creatures. So like, it's giving yourself that little warm hug. But like, I'm still nearly learning to do that as well, because I've been conditioned for so many years in a certain way, and the same as you being as well.
Yeah. So I'm working on this course. I'm writing my latest course. It's called the 7-day setup. And that's about setting up your year. And it's okay if we're in setup mode in January. Mm. It's okay if we're standing behind the curtain ready to come out in springtime. We don't have to be doing every single day. We can be preparing or getting our head in the right place, or just getting ready to step out from behind the curtain. So yeah, it's whatever. And then there's people like Vicky Nataro. I don't know if you know Vicky, but
yeah, I know Vicky. Yeah.
She loves winter, and this is her time to shine.
Okay.
And then she retreats in the summer. So it's back to that self-awareness. Like, what do I like? What do I need? And to be unapologetic about that. I remember I was speaking to Oprah's life coach, Martha Beck, and she said, so much shame about sleep. And my friend Audrey, she goes to bed much later and wakes up a little bit later. And Martha Beck was like, who says we have to get up early? And I remember Audrey was like, oh my God, I'm so happy to hear that, because I felt so much guilt and shame. And obviously this is before she had her baby.
Yeah.
She's so creative, and she would come alive at night.
Mm.
But just to be accepting of that, and that's okay.
And like, what's a big thing for you that you've been learning to accept about yourself?
I'm the world's greatest people pleaser.
Okay.
And I've done so much work over the last few years to stand in what I know is right for me without feeling guilty. And I think that's my work this year. It's so funny. Every year I kind of work on something big.
Mm-hmm.
And last year was that peace and to be okay with doing nothing. And I think I got to the end of the year and I kind of had got my head around that one, and I was much better at it.
Mm.
But I think this year, and I think each year, what you're tackling is bigger, or something you may not have even been able to consider 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But this year, it's about doing what I know is right for me and my family. And I'm taking baby steps.
Yeah.
Jerry Hussey is like, I'll go and say he's my mentor, teacher, friend. Mm. He really, when I speak to Jerry, he knows. He can see. Like, we'll often record a podcast and then he'll send me a voice memo, and the advice he get, like, if I could print those words and frame them, I would. Actually, I should.
Yeah, sure, totally. Yeah.
And he knows. He knows what steps I'm taking to be unapologetically myself.
Mm.
And it's hard. It's hard when you've been a people pleaser your whole life to stand in that power.
And what steps are you taking? Like, you know, just to, like, for other people out there, because like, I was people pleasing. I'm such a people pleaser, but I have stopped that. Like, I've definitely stopped that over the years. And that's something I would have worked on. I'm working on something else now. So like, what are your, like, you know, what are your little kind of steps now that you're like, okay, like, how am I going to start doing this? How am I going to start dissecting this? Like, because obviously this comes from like a bigger thing, you know, when you were younger and stuff like that. But even I think a lot of people, are people pleasers because it's like just instilled in us just to say yes and not let people down, and we can't do this. And, you know, what is it that's making you really say, okay, I want to work on this?
I think it's about setting up personal boundaries, and it's about year after year, if you just say yes, 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 the only person you're hurting is yourself. And then when you become a mum, you're passing that on to your children. So I have to take a stand for them. I have to show Pia that you don't have to be agreeable all the time and sacrifice yourself for the happiness of other people. I just want her to be strong in herself and have confidence. And I think I see that in Jamie. He's just himself. And sometimes I'm like, you're a little bit too, you know, could you not soften it down a little bit, Jamie? So I think personal boundaries, I think you don't have to over explain. I wrote about this in my book.
Ooh, yes.
Just say no. You don't have to like get yourself tied up in such a knot that you're sending this rambling, bullshitty text. Just say no. It's fine. People like you being straight up with them.
Yeah. Or some people don't. This is the thing. But I know, like, I for years, I done the exact same thing where I remember I was talking about this to people. I was like, you don't have to explain yourself. Like, do you know what I mean? And that's the thing. Some people want you, because I would have been like, sorry, like, I can't do this because I'm doing this and I'll fit you in and blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, I'm giving away my peace and my energy to the other person. Like, I have to hold that in for me. And you just feel drained, don't you?
Mm. I remember, I remember a couple of weeks ago, we were supposed to go over to Audrey's house with the two kids for dinner a couple of weekends before Christmas. And I was like getting myself in a state. I was like, oh my God, the bottles and this and that. And how am I going to manage? And then I just rang Audrey. I was like, hey, Audrey, it actually really doesn't suit me to come to you. Can you come to me? And she was like, yeah, sure. No problem. Actually, that makes such more sense.
Yeah.
And I had been putting off ringing her and saying that she's my best friend. She's my sister. Of course, she's going to understand. Like, just say where you're at. People get it. People understand.
Yeah. And that's it. That's a big thing, is just like speaking your truth, saying what's going on. Like, you don't have to hide behind a mask. Like,
yeah. That, and do what makes you feel warm. You know, if it's making you feel cold, no, not for me. If it's going to, you know, make my family feel uneasy, not for me, not happening. Doors are closed. Sorry, it's retreat day. Sorry, it's duvet day. Doesn't work for me.
Yeah. And you know, it's the importance of boundaries as well, because like for you, what does that mean? Like when you actually create those little boundaries, even though it can feel icky and uncomfortable, how do you keep them in check?
I think it's like, I see myself, you know, surrounded by like this imaginary bubble of like health and positivity. And obviously not every single day, but, you know, I'm taking steps in the right direction. I know I'm a good person. And to just believe in that and to protect that as well. I mean, you know, it's so hard to be in the public eye, isn't it? In terms of, sometimes you're like, oh my God, like putting yourself out there. I'm like, I worked in radio for a reason. It's because I didn't have to show my face. I was just a voice on the radio. So it's so hard for me sometimes to put myself out there.
Mm.
My mom has been so great in helping me believe in myself. And I don't know where I'd be without her. So over the last kind of 6 years and these, you know, doing the concert hall, putting the tickets on sale. I don't even have a birthday for myself. My birthday's in January. I never had birthday parties because I was like afraid people wouldn't show up. And then I had to go and like put on a show in the National Concert Hall and, you know, wait for 1,000 people to buy tickets to it. Like, that's so huge for me. People think you just get out and you do it and you're, you know, it's so hard to put yourself out there. But I'm just to anyone listening, no one's going to do it for you. When I sat at my desk in radio and I was like, this isn't for me anymore. Do I have enough belief in myself to start up my own business? Well, you know, maybe 50%. Okay, what am I going to do to help me get there? I'm going to create a logo. I'm going to think of a name for my business. So I thought of the Good Glow. So then I was another step forward. Okay, right. Well, I have the logo. I really want to show it to people now. Okay, I'm going to start talking about this podcast. I'm going to start. So then I'd say it to people and talk about it. Then I started building a website. Mm. I had no product, inverted commas. I had no podcast recorded, but I had the bones of it. So then every day I just did one little thing to take me forward. And then it came to the day when I had to pick up the phone and book the studio, and I did it. And then I was another step forward. I walked into the studio that day, recorded my first episode, put it out into the world, and I have never looked back. I quit my job 6 months later, started my own business. Jamie works for the Good Glow now. We have a life that, you know, I could have only dreamed of. So every day when I wake up, and it's not easy, of course, but I just hope that other people who have that itch inside to take a bet on themselves, I hope they do it.
Oh, I love that. Like, and it's so important because like what you said as well, like you have to be your number one supporter because nobody else is going to do it. And I think so much of us, even for me, you kind of do wait around for, oh, I'll just, when I'll do this. And you just have to go, excuse my French, fuck this. I'm doing it now. I don't know what's going to happen, but I just have to do it. And like for you on those days that you keep going, like, you know, you're still, you know, releasing courses and what keeps you going? What is it that keeps you going doing what you do?
I love being creative. I love coming up with new ideas. And I love learning from experiences. So one of the best quotes for me is, if we don't change, nothing changes. So every year I just expected, okay, maybe this is the year that I'll get a promotion and spin. Maybe this is the year that I'll get more money. And then I just sit around waiting and waiting and waiting. And then the years are passing. So if we don't change, nothing changes. So say, for example, the New York Half Marathon. I have rocked up to the New York Half Marathon for the last 2 years with no training. Okay, the first year I had a torn MCL, so I had an excuse. Last year, I actually don't know what I was doing because I didn't have a newborn. But I also went along to the New York Half, having done one 15-kilometer run the weekend before in Marley Park. So I woke up in January a couple of days ago and I was like, do I want to go to New York again this year and have the same experience? No, I absolutely do not. I want to go. I want to be proud of myself. So you got to do the work. So I went out for a 4-kilometer run yesterday. Now I struggled on the way back because I was going up a hill. So I walked but I did it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going back to New York having just done one run. So if we don't change, nothing changes. What are you going to do to create the change that you need in your life?
Yeah. And that's so big because I was even talking on another podcast as well about playing the victim. And so many of us like play the victim in our own story, and I'm a culprit of it as well. And it's like, why me? Why didn't I do this? Why can't they reach out? Did this, did that? Instead of going, like, having that, I basically call it the fuck it mentality, where you're like, fuck it, like, you know, no one else is going to change it, so I have to change it. So even like during Christmas, I was only talking to you off air. You know, I had a hard time on my own. I sat in bed. I was crying because it was a really hard time for me, like, you know, over to Christmas. And then I said, okay, how can I change this? How can I change that? So I said, I'm going to reach out because people aren't mind readers. Hey, how are you? Do you want to catch up? Do you want to go for a walk? And every week I just made sure to meet up a friend or get out and do something that feeds my soul. And towards the end of the week, like, you know, you say as well, I was even that little percent better. Not 100, not 20, but just that little, that when you take back the control of your own self, it's yourself that you have to thank.
Yeah, and no one's going to do it for you, unfortunately, which is the hard thing. So yeah, it's exactly the same. Like, I'll stand there at the training runs like the big E, just, oh geez, I never train, I'm such a gobshite, like, you know, that's a real Irish thing.
Yeah
Oh, it's going to take me 3 hours. I'm going to be on the sweeper bus. Like, all this ridiculous shite that I come out with because I'm embarrassed. No, I got to do the work. I got to do the work to improve. And I'll say that now because I went out for my 4 kilometer run yesterday, but I'm going to try and I'm going to, I think, just drop the mask a little bit and be vulnerable and get out there and just put on my runners and give it my best shot and see where I get this year.
Yeah, it's just going for it, isn't it? It's just like, do you know what actually is so weird? And like one thing I'd love to ask you of, especially as being self-employed and being such a role model for other people, you know, the fear of the unknown and the uncertainty, like what keeps you kind of just going, no, what keeps you in check to go, no, no, I've got this. I know it feels like even like going into being a new mom this year, you have bigger ideas. Like what keeps you just like kind of just going on that straight and narrow?
It's an insane amount of trust in the universe.
Okay.
I have so much trust in the universe. I'm almost horizontal in terms of I am so laid back. I am just like everything is going to be fine.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that I don't have the drive every day to get up and make my business work and come up with new ideas and put my best foot forward and demand the best from myself, from my podcast and everything that I do. I will never be complacent.
Yeah.
But I also know that if the worst happens in terms of my business, and that would be for the Good Glow not to be a thing anymore. Okay. And I hate to even say it out loud, but just say, you know, everything fell apart. I know I'll be grand. Things have happened to me in my life where I have been like, that's it. It's over. I'll never feel the same way again. And everything that's happened in my life has brought me to somewhere incredible. I am happier today than I've ever been because of my trust in the universe and my ability to live, sit in those bad days and, you know, work on myself. And also like some days not to, some days to lie in bed crying all day and to be held and loved and protected and carried by the people that love me. But I also know that those really, really tough days, they pass. And every single time I come out the other side, I say to myself, oh, that's why that happened. Because of where I am now.
Every season has a reason.
Every season has a reason. And, you know, even with my health scare there before Christmas, it took a lot for me to get to a place where I was like, if I am sick again, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah. And
that thought came to me 2 hours before I got the all clear. But I got to a place of acceptance that if it was happening again, that I would trust.
Wow, like that's so powerful, especially like as hippie as it sounds, you know, the way to people to be like, trust the universe. It is really valid that you do have to trust you and just trust that like things will work out for you. And like, before we wrap up, because this has just been amazing, I could sit here talking to you all day. We know this. We would waffle the ears off ourselves like we did. Before we wrap up, I just want to ask you, what advice would you give to people and to women, to men out there on loving yourself, learning to love yourself?
That's a great question that you didn't give me a heads up on, Emma.
Sorry, babes.
So, okay, this is something that I did last year.
Okay.
It was to reconnect with my favorite self.
Mm.
So I was so busy and so focused on being my best self. So the healthiest version of me, you know, doing the work, going to therapy, you know, doing all these things that I forgot about my favorite self. So one day I was in the living room and I was just like, I used to dance all the time badly. And Jamie said to me, oh, he went like this, oh, never dance around the kitchen anymore. And it stopped me in my tracks. And I looked at him and I remembered, oh, I was like the flashback of like our life together. And all I could remember was like when we first started dating, me dancing around the kitchen in my mum's house, like trying to make him laugh or, in Marks and Spencer's or like in Dunn's, wherever
yeah. we
bursting into dance to try to make Jamie laugh.
Moment
I realized I hadn't done that in like 5 years.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa. So I was like, oh, my favorite self. Who is my favorite self? My favorite self is dancing around the kitchen.
Yeah.
So I got an Alexa, and then every morning I would put on, you know, Groove Armada, But I Feel Good, or some sort of mad song. And I dance around the kitchen. And I think if you really want to love yourself, or just spend 5 minutes with yourself, just ask yourself, who is my favorite self? What have I not done in years that I used to love doing? Whether that's reading a book that's not teaching you something, you know, like a novel, or lying on the couch and watching Sleepless in Seattle. Like, what is it?
Yeah,
and why don't we do it anymore?
So
that's a tip on how to love yourself a little bit more.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure, and thank you so much, Georgie Crawford. It's been just amazing. Thank you.
And can I just say, Emma, like, your journey watching you over the last while has been so inspiring to me. And I think you're just doing the most incredible work and service to people. And I'm excited to see what's going to unfold for you this year. And thank you for bringing us on the journey.
Oh, thank you. Why do I feel I have to cry all the time?
You're amazing. And I know you know that. But
thanks so much. Like, you always touch my heart so much. So for everyone, before I don't cry, George, would you like to give your handles on where people can follow and, you know, where they can feel inspired?
Yeah. And I got to meet some of your community at one of your sea swims, and everyone was so nice. So I'm at Georgie.Crawford on Instagram.
Amazing. Thank you so much, as always. So that's it for the first guest on Empower with Emma. I hope you loved it as much as me. Like, we really just got into so many conversations about just like loving ourselves, accepting ourselves, you know, embracing change, who we are, like taking those little steps every single day and being kind to yourself and living in the present moment. Some of us just forget that, even me, and we just have to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. So I hope you loved it as much is me, and as always, stay tuned until next week. And I would absolutely love if you could like, subscribe, or follow to my podcast. It would mean the absolute world to me, as every little helps. And of course, you can follow me at Emma Kyo, EMMAKEHOE, or my other page, which is at Empower with Emma. I have some events and classes always running, or of course, you can always drop me a message or a DM. Thanks so much, and I'll see you next week.